So then it is written, Kaviraj Goswami says, "My dear brothers, please hear all these glories of Sri Chaitanya. This verse clearly summarizes his activities and characteristics. The two syllables, Krishna, are always in his mouth. He constantly describes Krishna with great pleasure." You see, there are many, they will say, "Why Krishna? There are many gods. Why Krishna?" Then they will tell they are God themselves. But here it is said, when Bhagavan comes, he himself is always describing Krishna. He will never say, "Oh, why Krishna? Why not so many?" No, he never leaves the sound of Krishna. Always Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, the reservoir of pleasure. He wants that the living entities will come to their greatest fortune, their highest fortune. Mahaprabhu knows only by coming in connection to Krishna, in the mood of pure devotion, can the living entity come to his highest satisfaction, highest fulfillment. Otherwise, the living entity will wander in material existence for hundreds of millions of lifetimes in search of happiness, in search of security, in search of pleasure. But every time he will meet with frustration. He will meet with frustration. But if he comes to Krishna, in one lifetime, he will experience his fulfillment. No more necessity to wander in a treacherous world, treacherous land. This place is not our home. There is a land far superior to anything this world has to offer. Just think about it. Cities more glorious and glamorous than the great Bombay, or New York, or Paris, or Singapore. People more kind and generous than Gandhi, and even Mother Teresa and so many welfare workers of this world. Thousands of times greater than that which we have seen in this world. More beautiful. Here everything has its limitation. Trees with some, what is it called, horticultural science, we can combine one or two fruits. But can you combine banana and coconut? Can you do such a combination? No. Only varieties of apple you make, something maybe to peach, to plum, something. Very, very limited. But in that place it is said that the trees, they are known as kalpa vriksha. Any tree can yield any type of fruit and any quantity of fruit at any time, simply according to the wish of the devotee, the desire of the devotee. Kalpa vriksha, desire fulfilling trees. A land that surpasses this world unlimitedly. A land that surpasses even heaven. The idea of heaven is enjoyment, where God provides a land simply for our enjoyment, pleasure. Sometimes we have seen paintings of heaven. In Christian idea of heaven, I saw one nice painting once. Man was there in heaven. Who had got to heaven? He was sitting in a nice chair in a garden. He was relaxing. There was a table by his side. There was some refreshments that were there. One lion was playing. His son and daughter, they were playing with a ball, you see. And Jesus was roaming with a plate of nimbupani. And coming in, he is supplying nice refreshment. This was a painting. Idea of heaven. So much enjoyment, even God is there to serve you. God's Son is there to serve you, you see. You're simply there to relax. And no fear there. But it said, Goloka is a land superior to that. What could be superior to enjoyment? Enjoyment. Everyone wants enjoyment. Even we want to enjoy kirtan, we want to enjoy devotee festival, mahaprasad. What could be superior to enjoyment? That is called ananda. Seva ananda. Bliss to seva. Service. Seva. Something which is not looked at here is so high. Of course, if you do a little service to humanity, you may get a good name in the history books. But how many people would do that? If we recognize that somebody is serving humanity, that is a great thing. Why, everybody doesn't serve humanity? No, because no one wants to give up enjoyment, personal enjoyment. No one wants to give it up. And heaven means the perfection of material enjoyment. But there's something greater than enjoyment. A satisfaction that comes in giving. Greater than that of receiving. Greater than receiving is giving. We sometimes experience it in this world. Greater than receiving a gift is giving a gift. And that the experiencing giving, when we are giving to the supreme object of worship, everything, even our heart and soul, our very existence we offer to Him, that reciprocates with Him in the form of something which even surpasses the heavenly conceptions of pleasure. By hundreds of thousands of times, it is greater. The bliss of seva, ananda of seva, in Goloka. I'll read more of this description. If someone tries to describe him as being blackish, the next word we find is tvesha akrishna. Immediately restricts. His complexion is certainly not black. Indeed, his not being blackish indicates that his complexion is golden. There are many color combinations of this world. Black may go with green. Black may go with blue. Black may go with silver. But everybody knows black and gold. This is outstanding, huh? So the complementary color to black, most complementary color. Complementary means it is so much the opposite that it is enhancing. It is enhancing the beauty of black. That is gold, not white. Black and white is not so appealing. Not so appealing. Black and gold. Gold holds such a position that it enhances the beauty of black. So when saying this Rishi told, Bhagavan in Kali Yuga is not black. The indication is he will be opposite of that. And in a way that he will be most beautifully revealed. That means his color will be golden. By performing the sacrifice of the congregational chanting of the holy name, learned scholars in the age of Kali, they will worship Lord Krishna, who is now non-black because of the great upsurge of the feelings of Srimati Radharani, covered by the color of Radharani. Radharani's color, actually, is just like molten gold. Now, see the phenomena now. Just I'll tell you a secret. This is one of the secrets of this ashram. Where does the sun get its energy? All over the world, people have studied the sun for centuries and centuries. Still to this very day, people are studying the sun. Where does the sun get its unlimited power? The secret is, his power is drawn from Bhagavan. Behind the orb of the sun is the Supreme Lord, the source of all power. The sun derives its power. And it just so happens that it's this ashram that the sun comes to every morning to derive its power. You can see. The sun is coming and shining on Mahaprabhu, sometimes shining on Radharani, sometimes Krishna, sometimes Govardhan, and drawing up his power. And we have noticed that whenever this doesn't happen, it's a cloudy day. That is called subjective vision. Don't see the tree, see behind the tree. Who is behind? Don't see nature, see who is behind nature. Then someone will say, oh, you're actually seeing it in reverse. No, that is actually seeing it rightly. You're seeing it in reverse. You think the sun is shining down on Krishna, but actually, Krishna is giving light to the sun at that time. That is called subjective consciousness. Behind everything is the hand of the Almighty. He is everywhere. He is behind everything. So we try to see behind. Who is? Sometimes there's a movement in society. Someone says, who is behind that? Who's organized that? Who's done that? Just like in terrorism. A bomb goes off. Then everyone, who's behind it? Then some group, they claim, yes, that is our bomb. We are behind it. Acts of terrorism. Acts of treachery. But who is behind this world? Who is behind the sun?
The rain cloud and the ocean. The rain cloud and the ocean.
The rain cloud?
It gets the water from the ocean.
Yeah, that is awesome. But it's not rainy season. So, he is the only worshipable deity of the Paramahansas. who have attained the highest stage of the fourth order, sannyas. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Chaitanya, show us His great causeless mercy. One can vividly see His glowing complexion of molten gold, which dispels the darkness of ignorance. The sinful life of the living beings result from ignorance. To destroy that ignorance, he has brought various weapons, such as His plenary associates, His devotees, and the holy name of Krishna. So this day, 515 years ago, Mahaprabhu appeared. In Navadvipa. But another incarnation of Krishna appeared on this very same day at this very same moment. Who it was? Very same day, very same moment, another incarnation appeared on this earth at that time. That was Mahamantra. Krishna avatar, Nama avatar, came down at the same time as Gauranga avatar. They came together. Previously, the name is I am Nama. This will give us great fortune. In this way, from the very beginning of Mahaprabhu's appearance, he arranged that the people will be accepting the holy name. So as he appeared in the world, in the home of Mother Sachi, in Jagannath Mishra, the multitudes of the people of Navadvipa, they were at the river Ganga, and everyone was shouting, Govinda, Govinda, Hari, Hari, Krishna, Krishna. They're all shouting the holy names. And Mahaprabhu then appeared. Then, henceforward, as a baby, he used to do a lot of shouting and a lot of crying. And it would be incessant. He would not stop shouting and crying until the ladies of the village, they would stand in front of him, seeing the small baby. They would then go, Hari, Hari, Hari. Suddenly they discovered, maybe like this, that baby is always screaming, always crying, and maybe some ghost, maybe under some attack. So how to chase off any bad spirit? Hari, Hari. They will shout the name of Bhagavan. That will chase off any evil spirit, any bad thing. Cannot stand with the name of Hari. So they will shout, Hari, Hari. Then that baby will become quiet. Then if the ladies stop shouting, Hari, Hari, again he'll start crying. So in this way, even as a baby, he used to engage the friends of Mother Sachi and others in chanting of the holy name. Then when Mahaprabhu got a little bit his age, he became rascal number one. And he showed us so many of his Vrindavan pastimes of mischief. As Krishna in Vrindavan, he's stealing butter. He's creating mischief, stealing clothing, tormenting others, having great fun with his friends. So Mahaprabhu, he joined with the atheistic section as a boy. We don't believe in God. I am God, he said. He used to go to the river, and people are meditating. In those days, yogis are sitting, they're doing their sandhya, they're doing their pujas. So for those yogis, they are meditating, he would come and not splash water, actually, he would suck water in the Ganges, and he would spit the water on the yogis. And the yogis open their eyes, and here's this little boy spitting water, and then he's shouting, here I am, here I am. They're meditating on Bhagavan in the heart, and he's saying, I am here, I am here. And they're giving big complaint. Watch this boy you have. You're complaining to Jagannath Mishra and your boy, very bad, spitting on everybody. And then somebody's arranging pujas, put some nice sweets here, doing some, turn around, Mahaprabhu is standing there, thank you, eating the offerings. They're putting in a garland for Shiva. Then suddenly just that person, sometimes the girls would come to worship Shiva. They would make some lingam and all. And then just a garland, they put the mala on Shiva. And they make their wish to get their husband, beautiful, strong husband and famous. And he would just put his head there and mala would come. Yes, I will be your husband. I will give you a good husband. All sorts of mischief and many complaints against him. At that time, there was a devotee almost the same age. His name was Gadadhar Pandit. And Gadadhar Pandit, because actually Mahaprabhu, although he was doing great mischief, still everybody loved him. No one could not love. His name was Nimai Pandit. Everyone loved him. There was one big scholar. He used to go on walks in the evening. And some people would come along because he's a very big scholar, an older man, and he's having one stick. So Mahaprabhu used to just walk behind him, just doing some profile of that big scholar. And he would make fun of that scholar. Generally, if any boy does that, we'll think, not good, not correct. Still, they could not, even if they become angry, still they loved him. He had such charm and beauty. Because he is Krishna, all attractive, charm and beauty. They think he should be punished, but then when punishment, okay, don't punish, don't beat. You know, they'll want you give him a beating. Then if Jagannath Mishra is going to beat, no, okay, don't beat. Like that. It is mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavat that he especially would go to the home of old peoples. And in the night, he would come up and he would tie the door closed. Because old people have to get up in the night to go to toilet for passing water at least twice. So he used to just sneak up and tie off the door, and then he would sit back with his friends and wait. That old man comes to the door, starts shouting. All types of mischief. In the noon break, our boys, after school's over, they all go for swimming. So Navadvip was a big place with hundreds of schools. So the noon break would come and all the boys would go to swim. Mahaprabhu would go with his select group of friends. Very atheistic, very troublemaking boys. And there'd be some nice Brahmin boy come out from a school. He'll have his books and everything. He's taking his midday bath. Mahaprabhu would go, "Oh, I think I know you. I think you are the student of that big fool, the one that owns that school just near the banyan tree. That fool, you're his student, no?" And big fighting would take place. Now, I didn't say it, he said it. He would create like a big problem. Then he would jump and he would float down the Ganga, come to the next ghat. And he would do the same thing. And every day he would turn the ghat into a riot. To the point they had to post policemen with sticks. They're waiting for Nimai and his boys to come and chase them off. Then some older boys, maybe they're like 20, 21. They came one day. "You don't tell like that, any other man's guru is a fool, huh? This is not right." "Yeah, but it's true. And it's obvious the boy doesn't know anything. Oh, how you can speak like this?" "Come on, listen. Well, I know everything." Such pride, such arrogance. So then they would organize debates. And they would bring the best of the students. "Well, I'm going to just smash this Nimai." And he would just wrap them like a string around his finger and pull. Like mud, he would make one shape with knowledge. Then he would make another shape with knowledge. One boy would present his knowledge, and Mahaprabhu would then just destroy that knowledge. Then everybody's thinking, "Oh, gee, he is right." Then Mahaprabhu would say, "But we could consider it this way," and Mahaprabhu would defeat his own argument and again establish that boy's philosophy. "Oh, yeah, actually you're right." Then he would say, "But then again," and he unraveled the whole thing. He's the husband of Saraswati, goddess of learning, so he played with knowledge like a toy until he was known as the boy genius of Nadia. And he was respected by everyone and anyone for his learning. In this way, he captured the attention of all atheistic people who were more given to knowledge and had no respect for bhakti. And that's why he did all these pastimes. First mischief and all these things, catch that parental love of the senior citizens, you see. Although we don't like mischief, at the same time, when boys do mischief, there's some humor in that, some charm in that. Captured them, then captured all the learning persons. And then one fine day, he simply converted, "I am devotee of Krishna." And he, from that day on, to the end of his life, the name of Krishna never left his lips for a moment, he said. Which was some 20, 30 nearly 30-something years until he was 48 years old. Around the time he was 16, 17, something like that, he became a devotee. This Gadadhar Pandit, who was his friend, every day used to go home and pray to Krishna, "Please make me my Pandava Vaishnava. If he becomes a Vaishnava, then the Vaishnavas, we will get some standing in society. Everybody loves him, but he's such an atheist. He's such a philosopher, a logician. He's always a troublemaker. Nonetheless, everybody loves him. If you bless him to become a devotee, then we will catch all of Navadvip, all of Nadia. Then they will have to respect the devotees." And when that happened, then of course that was a happy day for Gadadhar Pandit. And Mahaprabhu, when that actually how it happened, Mahaprabhu went away. His father had passed away, Jagannath Mishra. And he went to this place called Vishnugaya, to do the Pinda ceremony, the cultural religious ceremony for the ancestors. There he met one saint, Ishwar Puri. Ishwar Puri was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. Mahaprabhu saw one nice devotee, one nice saint is there. Let me go and see. Previous to that moment, he had just been a big scholar. He had passed his mischief age. Now he was a big scholar. He had his own schooling. Then he came there. Then something is told about that. He was very impressed with that devotee, meeting that devotee, Ishwar Puri. And under the influence of Ishwar Puri, he became his disciple. Ishwar Puri became the guru, Sri Chaitanya Dev. Ishwar Puri gave him various mantras for his chanting, and particularly, most importantly, he told him, "You don't worry about Vedanta, you just do Sankirtan." And he gave him Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in the experience of all of us, first we say, what does this sound they're shouting, Then one day, nobody's looking. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Leg starts to jump, we start to sing, somebody comes. We act normal. Then we get our tape recorder, we're listening some sound, that starts to move something. Pretty soon we find out we have joined those people shouting, Krishna, Krishna. So it's generally gradually. But with Mahaprabhu, it was not gradual. It is if someone had broke the dam and the whole ocean was coming out at once. More than if the Ganga was falling on the head of Shiva. It was coming out. Just instantly it came out. His love for Krishna. So when he came back from this Vishnu Gaya, then he was different. He went to his students. He didn't anymore like to teach grammar. He just taught Krishna, Krishna. Oh no, they said, "Teach us grammar. We want to be a big scholar like you." But Mahaprabhu would teach Krishna, Krishna. Even then some of the students, they began to complain, you see. Then, although they loved him, although he was the greatest scholar, there were objections against him, you see. Why is he telling Krishna, Krishna? He's a changed man. And Gadadhar Pandit saw this change. He was so happy. Somehow he's become a Vaishnava. Krishna has answered my prayers. He's become a Vaishnava. And Mahaprabhu used to go to Gadadhar Pandit and he would say, "You are blessed from your birth. You are a devotee of Krishna. But my life was very sinful. I was a big rascal. I gave all importance to jnana and logic and grammar and all these things. I have wasted my life, so many years of my life. You are most fortunate, Gadadhar." So that is the pastime, the Leela. The Lord plays the part of an ordinary person in Kali Yuga, and he becomes himself a devotee of the Supreme Lord in Kali Yuga, and he teaches us the path. So, by the time Mahaprabhu reached 24 years of age, now Navadvip was split. It was split. Previously everybody loved him, now it was split. A certain section loved him, but a certain section was opposing him. And they rumored, we know him since the time he's a boy. Of course, he was very learned, he was very sweet and all that. All children are sweet. They began to give so many excuses. Anyway, we know who this Namai is. And they didn't take him seriously about his Sankirtan movement. And a certain section of those people, they even went, at that time the government was Mohammedan government, they went and complained to the Mohammedan government, "You please stop these people, they're making a big noise, always shouting Krishna, Krishna, all these things, it is disturbance, huh? They're shouting in the night, hey, Narayan is sleeping, huh? Tell these people to be quiet." They gave a complaint. "Our God is sleeping, they're shouting." Like this, even the Hindu Brahmins, they went against Mahaprabhu. Then at one point Mahaprabhu realized, it is something natural, I am from their village, and they see me in white dress as a family man, so many are taking that I am just one of them. So how to correct that vision? Then Mahaprabhu thought, I will become a sannyasi. Because the then culture of the time, as is still the culture in India in most cases, everyone will give respect to a swami, to sannyasi. So Mahaprabhu then devised the plan when he was 24 years old. He will renounce his family life. He will enter the sannyas ashram. And when he did that, it was the 14th of January, Makara Sankranti. That was the day he selected. When he did that, in one day he captured all the people that had avoided him in Navadvip. They just came there to see, what is this Nimai Pandit is going to take sannyasi, he's going to be a sannyasi. And then his head was shaved, and he was sannyasi dress, then everybody fell down, and in this way, he captured them. And then he went on to live in Puri, Jagannath Puri. And the remaining 24 years of his life were spent, his base of activity was in Puri. By the time Mahaprabhu's leelas were completed, we find out that some of the greatest philosophers, logicians, and saintly people, as well as kings and heads of state, as well as wealthy merchants, some of the greatest, wealthiest, aristocratic people, not some, many, had become the disciples of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And these persons wrote their experiences of who is Chaitanya Dev. So it is one thing that from the village, some man is telling, oh, Bhagavan, 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 Bhagavan. Well, what opinion? What do we care for the opinion of a man who has no education, no culture, no anything? If a very highly learned person with a great experience in the world, he has something good to say about something, then we recognize it must have some value. But even then, one man's opinion. What if 100 men, educated men and women, great aristocratic people, highly learned, top people of the society, the governor of all Andhra Pradesh and Tamil Nadu at that time, he is known to us as Ramananda Roy. He was directly under Krishna Deva Roy at Vijayanagar. He became Mahaprabhu's most important devotee in one sense. Rupa and Sanatan, they were the chief minister and prime minister of the Nawab Hussain Shah of Bengal. He ruled all of Bengal up into Assam and all these places that Hussein Shah, he ruled, and his chief minister and prime minister, almost always in the Mohammedan government, all chief positions were given to Brahmins and very intelligent people. The sword was in the hand of the Shah, but the brain power and economics was in the hand of the ministers. And in most cases, in many cases, most cases, they were Hindu. So Rupa and Sanatan were ministers of the Nawab Hussain Shah. Ramananda Roy was governor of all of Andhra and Tamil Nadu. Then it is coming under like all Madras district, big Madras district. They didn't call us Madras, but that time. Then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was the court pundit at the court of Maharaj Prataparudra. He is known as the Gajapati Maharaj, also one of the wealthiest and most powerful kings in India. His court pundit was the guru of 1,000 and more Shankar sannyasis. Sannyasis of Shankar Mutt used to learn Vedanta from this Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he converted, became Mahaprabhu's devotee, and went out with kartals and chanting the holy name in the street, and everyone was amazed. The dignified Sarvabhauma, the greatest of scholars. It is said that he is Brihaspati, the guru of the Devas. He came in Chaitanya Lila, and he is going out dancing and chanting Krishna Nam. They were stunned. And due to his influence, he converted the king, Prataparudra. And this went on at Benares. There was one famous sannyasi, Prakasananda Saraswati. He also was defeated by Mahaprabhu and fell at his feet and became absorbed in the Sankirtan. And like this, all around, Mahaprabhu traveled in India for some years. For 6 years, he moved around a lot. Nearly 2 years in South India, up down to Vrindavan, went back to Navadvip on one occasion. He moved around, but mainly he stayed at Jagannath Puri from the time he was 24, for 24 years. And in the last 24 years of his life, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was drawn into seclusion. And he was only rarely seen by the devotees at certain times. Huh? So, how many is that? 12? For 36 years, basically, he was given to the welfare of humanity, the Yuga Dharma, what I mentioned in the beginning, his first duty, Yuga Dharma. And in the last 12 years of his life, 12 years, that is known also as a Yuga, Mahaprabhu was given to his own cause. And that he had come down, Krishna, in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan, particularly in the mood of Srimati Radharani. He had come in that mood of devotion, but in the mood of her devotion. And he wanted to experience the quality of her devotion, the quality of her love, and the quality of her satisfaction. What she experiences in serving Krishna. Krishna is Bhagavan himself. Everyone in the universe serves God. And he sees they are so happy. They get so much from me. Sometime in the material world, even they are ready to die for me. He sees that. What is devotion? And then devotion in the Vaikuntha, it is more. And devotion in Goloka Vrindavan, it is more. And devotion in Radharani is more than all the others combined. And Krishna says, what is that devotion? I need to know that. How do I get that? How can I understand that? You see? It is a mysterious thing. Devotion controls him. Love is more than him. Therefore, there is this common saying, love is God. God is love. Materially, we don't read it properly. But what is God without love? He would not care to exist. All that he is, if there was no love, he himself would not care to exist. We say, some people say, Krishna is not God. We say, if Krishna is not God, there is no God. Because he is. You see? So, love is everything. That is different than the love of this world. So, and that love is called Mahabhav. And who has that more than any? That is Srimati Radharani. So Krishna comes as a devotee in her mood of devotion. That type of devotion. Now, what is that? Is that all about gopis? Is that... there are many things we hear these days about high devotion. But rarely now do we hear the real thing about high devotion. High devotion means selflessness. No greediness. Everyone in this world is possessed with greediness, selfishness, to some degree. But there is no selfishness and no greediness to be found, even in an atomic particle, in the heart of the residents of Vrindavan. So to be a Brajabhakta, to be in Brajabhav, we have to eliminate selfishness, greediness. We have to learn sacrifice, give to live. We have to learn these things. There is no ego there. Egotistic consciousness. No ego there. They have their pure ego. I am servant of Krishna. Pure ego. But no false ego. No tendency of enjoying. So, Mahaprabhu entered into this mood of selfless service and devotion, and through that he came to know what is the love of Srimati Radharani. And he spent 12 years in that state of mind, day and night. Day and night. It is actually questionable if he ever slept, actually, in that 12-year period. He would appear to sleep from time to time, but even in his sleep, he would be in his dream consciousness of Vrindavan. So, and at the end of those 12 years, then Mahaprabhu was 48 years old. And from time to time, he would meet with the devotees, of course, not exclusively just staying in his room. There is one room where he stayed in Puri. It is called Gambira. Gambira means very mystical. Very mystical. What Mahaprabhu could experience there, we cannot understand that, actually. And only few devotees, one and two and three devotees, would be with him. Sometime in the day, he would come out and he would see his devotees. One evening, he called all his devotees to one temple called Totogopinath. The Totogopinath temple was being... the main devotee living in that temple was Gadadhar Pandit, who had stuck with Mahaprabhu throughout his life. You follow, from the time they were children. Then, of course, they got their age, 48, nearly 50. Then, one day when Mahaprabhu was visiting Gadadhar Pandit, they were sitting together, and he told Gadadhar, dig in the sand, there's a great wealth here, a great fortune, a great treasure is waiting here, please discover it. And Gadadhar told him, like you, my lord, I have embraced a life of renunciation. What treasure, what business I have with treasure? No, this is something more than that worldly treasure, you just have a look. So they dug in the sand, this one. Beautiful murti of Krishna was found there. Very big size. As big as the man, we say. Very big size. Tota Gopinath. He became known as Gopinath. Tota means the garden. So a nice garden was there, and Gadadhar used to stay there and serve Tota Gopinath in the garden. Mahaprabhu called all the devotees, come for Sankirtan at Gadadhar's place, the place of Gopinath, Toti Gopinath. Then there was a big Sankirtan party, and they were going on with dancing and chanting for a few hours. Suddenly, Mahaprabhu began to manifest his divine symptoms. When those symptoms were being manifested, his intense love for Krishna, then everyone is caught in that. No one can leave that. Even the legs are ready to fall out from under the man. No one can leave that kirtan. They're just held up by that. Suddenly, Mahaprabhu began to expand himself. There was one, there was two, there was four, there was eight, there was 16. Suddenly, there were 16 Mahaprabhus. In 16 forms, he's tasting the ecstasy of the holy name of Krishna. Through the holy name of Krishna, he's showing, I need more tongues and more ears, because through this name of Krishna, I am catching Krishna. And he showed that so intensely, then suddenly, all to one, and he jumped into the Garbhagudi, and in front of maybe 100 devotees, very high devotees, they saw Mahaprabhu went inside the deity, and he was gone from the world. And on the leg of the deity, there's one big yellow line. Previously, the deity was standing for many years, and this line was there. When Gadadhar Pandit was old, he was too old to put the mala on Krishna, because he was so big, Krishna sat down. And now he is sitting like this, and he's playing his murli. And if you get to that place in Jagannath Puri, some days the pujari is a cooperative, and he may move the skirt of... Let me see, it's on... Now I forget which side... I think it's Krishna's right side, and you'll see, he'll show Krishna's leg, knee, and one beautiful golden line is there. It is said that line came there at the time of Mahaprabhu. Then, all around, there were many devotees. It is said that the devotees in Jagannath's temple in the evening, they saw Mahaprabhu at the temple. There were some other devotees. In the evening, they were out on the seashore. They're saying their mantras, they're having a stroll. They saw Mahaprabhu moving here. There are so many places that Mahaprabhu used to visit in Puri. And that evening, because Puri is many, many people, there were 1,000 devotees there. That night in the kirtan, maybe 100 or so were there. Everyone saw him. So to many of devotees in different places, he gave his last darshan. Then in one place, he ended his pastimes in this world. So Mahaprabhu was present 48 years. From the beginning, he showed Nam Sankirtan is the supreme wealth of all living beings who are to be found in this world, It is so valuable that it is cherished even by those who are the denizens of the heavenly world. Not heavenly world, the Vaikuntha world, the Goloka world. There's one incident, Mahaprabhu had fainted. In his trance, he had got Radha and Krishna. And he had gone in Vrindavan. And Radha and Krishna were sitting on a throne. And Mahaprabhu was picking flowers along with gopis, and devotees are there plucking flowers. So in his dream, Mahaprabhu entered, he's plucking flowers right in the company of Radha Krishna. So in his trance dream, he got Krishna. In this world, he was fallen down on the ground, unconscious. Then the devotees, they began Sankirtan. Then the sound of the Sankirtan, Mahaprabhu came back, and he came back to his consciousness. And he told, I had seen Radha and Krishna. They're under a tree. They're being served by devotees. They welcome me. And I went there and I was also serving. Now you made this sound. It brought me back here. Huh? So he was showing a little anger. Now you gave this sound. But the devotees, they have shown. And what is that sound? That even Mahaprabhu is seeing Radha Krishna. He's there and seeing in Leela Radha Krishna. But there is some sound which will bring him, attract him. The holy name of Krishna. That may attract him even from the Leela of Krishna. There is nothing superior to the holy name of Krishna. Kali Kali Namarupe Krishna Avatar. So if it has got such attraction and benefit for Mahaprabhu that he can come from a state of trance where he's envisioned God and his eternal Leelas, as devotee he's doing this and he's coming back to this place where people are jumping and shouting and chanting Maha Mantra. What is the meaning? How much benefit then to us? So from the beginning of his birth, when he made the people sing Hare Krishna at the time of the eclipse, to the last moment of his life, when he jumped in the Tota Gopinath temple and entered through the form of Tota Gopinath, he showed that Nam Sankirtan is the supreme benediction for humanity at large. Go Premanande!